My guest today is David Peterson. David Peterson, in 1946, released a new album the end of last year. The name of the album is Losing Game. It's on Necktie, which is David's label. We talked about it beforehand, and if you know how I do this part of the show, I talk to the artist about what three songs can we start, middle, and end with, and that's how we usually pick the songs out. I don't like to do it. I do it with them. I agree with this 100%. The title cut from Losing Game from David Peterson, 1946. And then we're going to get into a discussion with David, and he's so much great knowledge of music. And it's always a blast to talk to him. I just kind of get carried away because he can tell me so much that I don't know. And really what the show is all about is for Steve to learn stuff. Thanks so much for tuning in. You just heard the title cut from my guest for today, the title cut Losing Game, from the album of the same name. And my guest is, I've been a guest several times on Unreal Bluegrass, Dave Peterson. Dave, how you doing?
I'm good, Steve. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I've been looking forward to chatting with you about this album, which I think came out even later than I'd like to be. It came out the end of 2022, so here we are finally catching up and getting to talk about things. But it's just top to bottom. Boy, this is a killer album, and I'm not saying that any are better or any are worse than any other albums that you're working on, but there's a lot of strong vocals. There's strong instrumental. North Carolina Breakdown is just a classic instrumental tune. There's some nice fiddles on high on a hilltop. And
also, oh yeah, that's a good song.
Those fiddles are just great. So we just heard Losing Game. Tell us a little bit about that song, and I want to ask you about some of the people that are helping you out on this album. Your vocals are just, it's hard to pick one over the other, but tell me about Losing Game, why that's the title cut, and then I want to talk to you a little bit more. So the audience has heard Losing Game, so go.
Well, thank you so much for that. The title cut comes from James O'Gwen, who I have recorded some of his songs before on other records. My Country record, I recorded one of his songs called Blue Memories, and which he wrote with Paul Williams of Jimmy Martin Bluegrass fame, you know.
Yeah, there's some lineage there.
Paul Williams is his top shelf writer, and but that was one he co-wrote with Blue Memories. But Losing Game is a James O'Gwen composition, and he was the star of the Louisiana Hayride in the mid 50s through the mid 60s thereabouts, and he was a contemporary of Jimmy Martin and the Sonny Mountain Boys, because they were on the Hayride at that time.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Late 50s. And he was just a great tenor singer, like an Irish tenor, you know, but on the hillbilly side, you know. And just sang some really great country music, including Talk to Me, Old Lonesome Heart, stuff like that. Just wonderful. I've recorded several of his tunes. This is the third tune of his I've recorded. So Losing Game, I thought, would always make a good bluegrass tune.
It does. It does.
It's a real strong hillbilly country cut. He had fiddles on his recording of it, too. So.
Yeah, and you have fiddles. We mentioned it just a little bit. And before I forget, there's some double fiddles on some stuff. Tell me who's helping you out on the music, the instrumental parts, and if there's any other singers contributing, I want to know about them too.
Yes. So, you know, basically the record consists of my road band, a lot of it, which is Mickey Bowles, who's been with me for 20 years, more than 20 years now, playing mandolin and singing tenor. And he sang tenor with me on that cut. And
he also sang with you on Cheap Love Affair.
Yeah, he did. He sang with me on all the records.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's
right.
That's him on there as well.
Okay, all right. Go ahead.
And Gabe Dettinger is playing banjo, and he sang a little tenor on this record as well. I have him listed as baritone on the record. He really didn't sing any baritone on the record. He sang tenor because the ones he sang on, we did kind of a high stack. And he also sang tenor to me on my old Clinch Mountain home and played guitar on that. So he's playing banjo and lead guitar on the record. And then a guy that I've used a lot on bass over the years on my records, Kent Blanton, who lives in Goodlettsville, Tennessee. he played bass on a lot of the record, including that cut. And but then there's my road, my band mate Nate Stevens played bass on several cuts on the record. And then we have some guest fiddlers. Michael Cleveland and Jason Carter played the twin fiddles on that cut and the rest of the records.
Yeah, that's a strong. By the way, this album is Losing Game, but it's Dave Peterson in 1946. Not everything you do is 1940, but most of it is. So this newer one is Dave Peterson in 1946, which I'm familiar with the concept, but I want you to explain. I want to talk to you a little bit about your music choices and your endeavors. But so 1946 has a specific meaning to people that listen to bluegrass, and I know it does to you. So this will fit right into our discussion of your music. So talk a little bit about 1946 as a band name.
Yeah, I chose that name. I started the band back in 1999, and it was kind of an in-town thing around Nashville, because I spent 25 years in Nashville, and so there were some people, they had a desire to play some real bluegrass music, what they considered to be the sound, you know, the hardcore, the real sound of bluegrass, you know, and they wanted to do some stuff that was first generation. And so I started the band around Nashville with Mike Compton and Aubrey Haney. Mm-hmm. They were members. Gene Wooten, the late Gene Wooten, was also somebody that played in it. And Dennis Crouch on upright. Dennis has gone on to play with everybody you can think of, including Diana Krall and Elton John, a bunch of people.
That's heavy.
And then there was... Dave Talbot on banjo. So that was the band that I started with. And then it gained a lot. It really took off. And I soon realized, you know, I was going to have to form a road version. Most of those guys had other commitments, as session players and other band commitments. And so I continued on, you know, and formed the band for the road. And have been all over North America since then, including Canada. And here I am, 10 records in. And so it's but the reason I call it 1946 is it's a reference to the year that Bill Monroe recorded for Columbia in 46 and 47 with Flatten Scruggs in his band and Chubby Wise and Howard Watts.
Yeah.
And it's a salute to the first sounds of bluegrass. We like to play stuff in that style, even though the multiple fiddles wasn't present at that moment, but it's followed soon after.
Oh yeah. It's a great sound. And I'll tell you this too. Dave Peterson doesn't. You will not find, and even if nobody, you can't make a. Well, I don't know. Forget that. I was going to say you can't make a living playing 46, but there's a lot of music then. But David, as we're talking, he's already telling you that he's pulling other songs from country artists, or there's a lot of things pulled in from other artists. But I will tell you this: you will never hear Dave Peterson, and I'm not saying it's a horrible thing that happens. But Dave Peterson and or Dave Peterson in 1946 won't be covering any current pop songs.
It's probably not going to happen.
I don't think so. I'm gonna put my money on it ain't happening.
But, you know, as far as that goes, you know, people that I really admire, like Joe Val and other people, they did. They, like, covered Beatles songs and stuff. And they did it well. I mean, I may just do it sometime. You know, I may do a song out of left field sometime just to do it, just to bother people with it. I don't know.
And, you know, that's all,
but
that's,
I haven't yet.
That's happened with, not happened, but I mean, the choice has been made with the Country Gentleman. Everyone's always kind of pulled in. And even when JD and the New South, they pulled songs on that very first album they did.
They did Fats Domino songs.
Exactly.
And everything else.
They did a lot. They did a lot of things that made them, but they did them their way. So, and I think everything Dave Peterson's going to do, if you do reach out to something, there's a lot of great music. It's all going to come back to that right.
I will
right
say, you know, I think, you know, as far as music goes, there are songs that are just good. good songs, and they don't have to be bluegrass. They just happen to be really great songs, stuff like James Taylor.
Yeah, I was thinking of that,
and different
too.
People, you know, I do a lot of his music when I'm not in a bluegrass setting, and there's just some really fantastically written songs that stand on their own.
You know, and you knew Bill Emerson. I got to know Bill Emerson pretty well, but I asked Bill about, and I wasn't the first and only, Fox on the Run. Well, he was back in the day when they were traveling in the same car together. It was on the radio, and Bill used to carry a little
Man for Man.
So he records this Man for Man tune, and people can go look that up if they want. They had several hits, actually. But so he recorded that in his head. He thought this could be a good bluegrass tune. I thought, wow, could it ever? It's been everybody does it. It's now only thought of as a bluegrass tune. But yeah, stuff like that.
One of the most requested songs.
It's got to be.
That you will encounter in bluegrass.
Be.
I mean, you will get a request for that song almost every time you're on stage.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Quite often. Why didn't they do Blinded by the Light?
Well, they did that, and we're talking about Manfred. They had the hit. It was Bruce Springsteen's tune. Yeah. They had the hit that everybody thinks was, and Bruce did it later when he started recording his own songs. But you know, Manfred Mann had a lot of. But yeah, so it's that ability to hear those songs and think this will work, and that's what I think, that if you bring anything that's not from the period that you're talking about, and you do a lot, but if you pull in something that'll be something that in your mind, like Bill heard, Fox on the Run. This will work.
Boy, it really did work.
Yeah, man, did it ever.
It's just, they were the band that could pull it off. Really were, man.
Yeah, they could do it. So let's talk, Cousin, we're going to talk about more about the album. There's what, 15, 16 cuts? You get your money's worth for Dave Peterson. He doesn't hold back on anything, including the intensity. Dave Peterson is just has an unrelenting, even in the slower, in the waltz tunes, it's unwavering. It's absolutely dedicated and unrelentless to that sound. So if you hear Dave singing on this album, which you will, it's full throated. I would use that term. There's nothing holding back, and that's what I like about those. Each song could be a slower song, could be a, you know, really a touching song. But your voice, we talked a little bit about off the air about Brakeman's blues, which we're going to talk about, and actually you'll introduce them in a minute. But so when you listen to Dave, you get 100% of that heart and that soul feeling. And I want to mention this too. I know you're already, you released this at the end of 2022. You're working on another album now, I think.
I finished recording another record already. It's a gospel record.
See that, and that'd be great. I can't wait to hear that one.
It's actually, real scaled down. It's not a band type of thing.
A lot of vocals and guitar, maybe?
It's like a solo vocal guitar and duet.
Yeah.
So two guitars with duet vocals. So
that'd be beautiful.
You're going to get a mixture of that on that record.
And see, again, that's that classic. If you go to a bluegrass festival and you see a band that's capable of pulling that off, you'll see a couple singers and a guitar step aside to another mic, and they'll do that approach to gospel songs. It's a bluegrass gospel kind of a bluegrass country kind of a approach. And
it really can be a refreshing thing. And
it is.
It can break up the monotony of one band after another. You know, if you see an act that does that, or break a setup.
I think the break a setup is great, and you got to have the chops to do it. And a lot of the big bands do. I mean, the great. I don't mean big band, like Basie. I'm talking about a lot of the great bands have that ability and do it. And it is to offer a little something sonically different, and plus also to showcase their abilities to sing in that style, because it's a great traditional style. And I can't wait to hear that one then. But,
I will say about that record that it's going to have a mix of styles. It's not going to be strictly hardcore country, old country or bluegrass. There will be that on it, but there will be a couple contemporary type of things on there too. It's something for everybody, and I think a lot of people will enjoy it. That's my hope anyway.
I think they will, and even the Losing Game has something for everybody because of the different choices that you make. I want to make sure that I get the label out there, too. Let's tell everybody what label, where they can find it before we move on.
This is a self-release. It's Necktie Records, which is my label. Okay. And, you know, it's another reference to wearing the old ties and stuff on stage. They can get it from me directly if they want to send something my way to my P.O. box, or they can go through PayPal.
Okay.
And if you want me to tell you about that, I can do that.
Do it? Yeah, sure. I like to give people the information where they can find these things.
What you would do is send $25 to David Peterson, P.O. Box 1064.
Okay.
Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And then if you want to go PayPal, you can just look up my email on PayPal, which is ptrsn1946@aol.com. ptrsn1946@aol.com.
Okay.
$25. That includes shipping.
Yeah.
Shipping has gone crazy. It's $5 to ship a CD.
Well, I do. I get CDs. It's funny you mention that, because one of the things I was going to talk to you either on the air or off about, and I'm talking to Dave Peterson now, is being in this part of it's not a business, but in this part of the world, the music world, being on the radio, I get CDs all the time, which is great, because I put them right in, I load them right in, I have them available. I got one the other day from I forget, and the postage was $3.06 for a CD. Ooh. For a CD and an envelope, and it wasn't like stuffed with anything other than a CD. And I thought, that's outrageous. Now I get more and more things where a label or an artist will send me, because they know who I am. They're not just sending up, but they'll send me the free downloads that I can put into my playlist. And then if I want to get the CD, I can find it later. But more and more things are coming like that, because the mailing, the cost on mailing a CD, which they're not, in theory, they make something off of me if I give them exposure, but to drop a CD in a box and it's stamped $3.06 to mail it to me, it's
Don't I wish it was only $3.06.
Oh, really?
Usually, well over $4 and $5 quite often.
Oh, geez, that's just outrageous. That's just outrageous. There ought to be a different rate.
It's gone nuts. They're probably trying to eliminate physical mailings as much as possible, yeah. But it's the cost of gas factors into everything.
Well, you're right. Dave Peterson, I always enjoy talking to you about your view of music as we're going through, touching on some of the highlights of Losing Game, of which there are 16 cuts, and all of them are highlights. But so your approach to music, it seems to me that you always do your work and then take it to the studio. I think that Dave is always playing somewhere. And so when you get into the studio, which is now the studio where we can do things out of, your house or somebody, and he has a nice, but you go in ready. I think you go in ready, which is the old style of doing things also, where studio time was so valuable. The Flat and Scruggs and the Osmond Brothers, when they went into the studio, they just killed it, because they didn't want to be in there very long because it costs so much money. But now I think you're ready to go.
It would be better if you are. You know, it should be songs that you're familiar with, that you know. I don't have lyric sheets in front of me. I mean, I very rarely know the tunes. The band is familiar with what's going to happen. We've gotten it together before we get in there, mostly. Sometimes you have people you don't play with, and you go over the stuff and you discuss it. But the fiddle players, it was the same thing. I told, we communicated. I told them
these guys are
what
pros.
We were recording, and they got together and they worked up their stuff separately. So when they got there, there was the minimal amount of rehearsing in the studio that we had to do.
Those guys are class A. I mean, they show up and they're ready to go. They're just ready to go.
I picked those guys because, I knew I was going to do a bluegrass record, and I thought in my mind, well, who do I know that are bluegrass fiddles? I chose those two because their styles are complementary to one another, and I consider them to be bluegrass fiddlers, even though they can play anything.
You're talking, we mentioned earlier, Jason Carter and Michael Cleveland, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they're.
I picked them because I knew that they they play together when they can. They on the you know if they're on the same shows, they'll get up and 20 you know on each other's shows mm-hmm. and stuff. They're friends. They pick together when they're not you know on stage and right. stuff. And I knew that they it wouldn't take long for them to get it together. Their styles are complementary, and they are bluegrass fiddlers. So yeah. I said, well, this is what we need to do.
Yeah, good choice.
And you know, I wasn't sorry.
No. I want you to introduce a song in a minute, but I'm kind of hitting and skipping some of these tunes, Dave, but I want to get the feel of the record. As I look at my notes here, one tune that I wanted to talk to you about, because I think it's a great message, is Thy Burdens Are Greater Than Mine.
Yeah, that would be a semi-sacred number, you know. It's one that Hank Williams did. He never recorded. He just did it by himself with a guitar. He didn't record it with a band, you know.
Okay.
And he did not write that. It was written by Pee Wee King and Red Stewart, actually.
Oh, good. Okay.
And I think they recorded it in 1949, and Hank Williams was 51, I think, with his cut. And I think it was one of his that was released as Luke the Drifter.
Oh,
under the persona.
I forgot about. All right, good. I'm glad you reminded me.
And but you know, I've always loved that song, and I've done it for a long time.
Oh man!
And I thought, well, you know, I do it a lot at solo, but I thought, well, I think the Stanleys have recorded it as a duet and stuff. Different people have done it. But I thought, well, me and Mickey, I'm gonna get us to sing that one. And we got Dave to play kind of a cross pick guitar. We wanted to try to do it in a style that was reminiscent of the Stanley Brothers. And so Cleveland, any of the tunes you hear on the record where there's one fiddle, it's Michael Cleveland playing.
Okay, good.
So he's playing fiddle on that cut, and Mickey's playing mandolin, myself on rhythm guitar, and Kent Blanton played upright on that.
It's such a – I'm talking to Dave Peterson. I want to keep reminding people of who we're talking about, because we get into so many different musical issues with you, David, because you're so knowledgeable about other things, and we wind up skipping around. But I want to make sure that they know who I'm talking to, and I love everything that you're telling me. But this tune, it certainly wasn't written for today at all, but it sure kind of fits now to where people just have – you have to – I guess the message is really pretty simple, is that – you know, it ain't so bad, and somebody else, you know, you see somebody and you think, wow, and we all do it. We all do it. You can't help but drive through a town and see people that you think their burdens are greater than mine, my burdens, you know. It's impossible. We need to recognize that. And
you think you've got it bad, yeah. And you need to be thankful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thankful for what you do have.
You might think you got it bad because a string broke. And that ain't nothing.
Or maybe you broke up with somebody, or some things are going wrong other parts of your life. Well, you're still out here, above ground, and you can make your way through the crowd, you know.
And Moan in the Blues, I think of the Hank Williams voice on that. Is that have I heard that with Hank Williams skipping back up to Moan in the Blues?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, okay.
It is.
Yeah.
It's another Hank Williams tune. I like to do Hank songs. I did a couple on the last record, and Cup of Loneliness. I did a few Hank songs.
Okay,
on
yeah,
that.
That's right. I remember that.
And wanted to make sure we did some more on this. Moan in the Blues, I just thought that would make an excellent bluegrass song.
It does.
And those fiddles do moan on that. They sound good.
You know, we'll play those in a different part of the show, there's so many great tunes. And I was telling the audience, Dave and I talked about, what do we pick from all the cuts? They're all one's just as good as the other. And I'm not saying that to make excuses to why we haven't. We had a hard time kind of picking out. I like to do three. Losing Game makes perfect sense, title cut. But I want you now, David, to introduce Brakeman's Blues, because I think you yodel, you just absolutely, that's staunch. That's a really powerful cut. That's a powerful cut.
Well, I can't thank you enough. I just want to let people know, too, that that song brings it to mind. we recorded this record 100% live in the studio with headphones.
Thank you for that, yeah.
What you hear on this record is us standing in a circle in the room there, and we're all mic'd individually, but these songs are us playing live. There is no overdubs, there's no click tracks or auto-tuning. It is, we stand and deliver, and that's what you're going to hear on Brakeman's Blues. It was counted off, and here we go.
Oh, that's great. All right, well, I'm going to take that as your intro. The audience, we'll pause just for a minute. The audience, I'll play for you Brakeman's Blues, and then I'll come back and talk to David for a little bit more about the newest album, Losing Game, from Dave Peterson, 1946. So, David, I'll be back to you in just a second. All right. This is Brakeman's Blues from Losing Game. All right, there's the tune that David gave a nice intro to. It's kind of neat that you make the point that this was all made standing around, because your vocals are pretty on that one, and they all are on all of them. But, I mean, on that one, I was hit a star by it because I thought, man, you're just belting this out, and then you throw in that little hint of a yodel throughout it. And I thought, wow, this is but the fact that you're doing it in a circle, of course, you're an experienced performer. It's not like you haven't stood around and sang before.
Well, it's, you know, I always like to do a Jimmy Rogers song on a record when I can. And I thought it was time to do one. And that one is something that we do when we're doing our shows. We do it. You'll hear us do that one live some, you know. And I just think there's a place for I just don't think there's any substitute for musicians playing off of one another live like that.
I think you're right.
You know, like, you know, Louie and Ella and all those great records that we love. And Bill Monroe, all those guys, that's how they did it.
Yeah, they were,
you know? We hear these live records, and it's so captivating and fascinating. It draws you right in. And I think the reason is it's they're doing it live.
There's
right there in the moment.
There's an energy, and it's live. You don't hear an audience because there's not people, but there's an energy to the live, and I don't know how to describe it. And you as a musician know that it comes across that way, but there's an energy to what is in essence a live recording. When everybody stands around and you do it, and you nail it, and you're done.
Absolutely.
Nothing overdubbed. It's too easy to do that anymore, I think. I don't blame the people that... You know, I want to do a song in Florida, and I got somebody in California that can send me a piece to do it. And they're usually top pros at it, but there's still nothing for the musician, for the performer. And I think it comes through to the audience when they listen. If you're standing around looking at people and working off of each other, you know exactly the feel that's coming out.
There is no substitute. I mean, I get it. Sometimes there's no way around it.
Yeah, it has to happen.
You're not going to get the recording done if you don't do it. You know, don't send it to somebody or have them come in and overdub because they just couldn't get the schedules together. I get it.
Yeah.
But we've all done that. But this, I'm committed to the concept of human performance. I believe we need to get back to that in recording because of what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
What you sing may cause somebody to play something different because
right.
of what you just sang in the
yeah,
moment.
That's right.
And vice versa.
The energy, let's say, as a vocalist, although Dave is a fine, fine guitar player and does some of the best face-melting G-runs in the business, but as your vocal, if you kick it up to that higher gear, someone standing across from you is probably going to, maybe the energy goes up, or maybe they change, or maybe it's more powerful. But, yeah, you all feed off of each other, and I think that's something that can't be replicated.
No, it can't. If you bow up, they're going to bow up.
Exactly.
You know?
Right. That's right.
And they're going to come with it, you know.
Yeah, man.
And if the dynamic quiets down and it opens up, they're going to, you know, and it gets sparse and open, they're going to do that too. They're going to feel off what you're doing. So.
David, there's so many great songs that we could break down individually. And we talk about some of them, Hit and Miss. I love Moonlight on My Cabin. I love Here Today, Gone Tomorrow. I also,
that one was written by Gabe, the banjo player.
Oh, was it really? Okay.
That's an original composition. Gabe Dettinger wrote that one.
Okay.
And I really think it came out great.
It does come out great. You've got Cheap Love Affair, which I've listened to several times. I listened to the whole album over and over and over, but Cheap Love Affair. I'm not quite sure what the guy is asking for, whether he's asking for. I'm just not quite sure.
He's waiting for the woman he wants to get out of, waiting to get out of his situation so they could be together.
That's what I.
That's right. It ain't savory. I don't guess it's a savory topic. No.
That's what I thought it was, and I thought, well, is he talking about someone being locked up? And I kept thinking back, no, he's waiting to get away. He's waiting to make his move, and he's telling. Yeah, that's right.
They're tied up in they can't get away. You know, from. The situation
yeah,
you're in.
But hold on, I'm coming. I guess that's what it is. Hold on, I'm coming. So, and we talked a little bit about the instrumental North Carolina Breakdown, which is the only instrumental I think is on the album.
It is. I don't have a lot of instrumentals on my records. Had one on the very first band record, which the late Charlie Darrington wrote, called Walking to Westport, and then. The last record, Cup of Loneliness, is we did Nashville Blues, the Earl Scruggs
composition. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, sure, I remember that.
And this one, I've had this tune on my mind. I think it's a great tune. It's an Arthur Smith, Fiddle and Arthur Smith composition, the North Carolina Breakdown. I just kind of like it. I think it's got a primal feel to it, and I think it makes a good bluegrass number.
Again, and again, you're when you line up songs as a recording artist, I think there's more than just that's number one. That's number. I think you do some arrangement of the tunes as they appear. I think you do. I think most people do. So that's like kind of like midway through, you get this great instrumental tune of all these songs.
Something to pick the record back up. You know, you kind of ebb and flow. You know, tempo wise, you take them on a journey. And that it was about that time on the record that it was time to pick things back up again.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I think so. I want you to do an intro like you did to Brakeman's Blues. I want you to do an intro to Blue Darlin'. That's like the last song that you and I talked about we might lead to. So lead up to that. I'm going to let you go, but I want you to, it's a wonderful album. We could talk for hours and hours about each cut and why. And David always has, the thing about you, David, as a guest on the radio show, is that you always had that all those little details. All the little details, however many details you want to examine with Dave, he's got why and when and who recorded this and who wrote it and what this is added in for. As much as you want to get out of him, you can get out of Dave, or you can just listen to the music and enjoy it. Not trying to be so analytical, which I don't mean to overdo that, but I also enjoy talking to you, so I want to learn from you. So you always learn, teach me new things, and I appreciate that part of your art. Let's put it that way.
Well, there are people that know far more about this music than I do. There are people that'll surprise you. There's audio files, you know, and you know them well. You're one of those people, but they have a vast knowledge of a lot of stuff, but just there's songs that catch my attention that I hear, and this was a Jimmy Newman tune, which it was before he became known as Jimmy C. Newman, and you know, but this is from the mid-50s when he first got to Nashville, and he did some really fine recordings. I recorded one of his other tunes on my country record, and this is from the same time era. I just thought this was a strong tune. We did a show with him in Mineral, Virginia, back in the early 2000s.
Wow.
You know, just about 20 years ago, maybe a little over 20 years ago, and he was on that festival. He was there, and he had pitched that tune to me at that time. He said, "You really should do this." Mm-hmm. I talking to him backstage, you know. And I'll tell you, as far as country singers go, as far as like a pure, like a tenor voice, he really was a first. And, you know, his days as Jimmy Newman, recording stuff like that, it's a vocal number. And it's a heart wrencher. Blue Darlin', he had some fiddles on his too, and it's a non-pedal steel. Well, there was probably a three-pedal steel on that. I take that back. It was early. As a matter of fact, on those recordings, it was a young Buddy Emmons, who had just got to Nashville as well.
Oh, boy, he started a nice long career.
Oh, man. Well, the cool thing about that was on my country record, we got him on that record. Mm. It was the last record he ever played on. Mm. Before, he kind of went into retirement, he was still playing real good. And before he, several years before he passed away,
he was recognized. Buddy Emmons, we're talking about, is recognized as the steel guy.
Arguably the greatest steel player that ever lived.
True. Yeah. I think that's true. I'm sure there's a lot of good ones you and I don't know about, but everybody that knows him will say that, and for the work that he's done. So,
and as a technical innovator on the instrument, I mean, he came up with a lot of the systems on the pedal steel guitar. He invented a lot of that stuff, and just was an excellent musical mind. But he played on that record, and we talked to him about those sessions and stuff. It was just a real joy.
That's great. That's a great
work with him in the past.
So you got to keep the tradition alive, and if it's just an oral tradition, you got to find it and keep it going. Somebody's got to remember these things.
Oh yeah. I was really proud to do another Jimmy Newman tune on a record. I thought this one came out very well. This is one of the highlight tunes on the record, as far as for me.
It's great. We're talking about Blue Darlin'. I'm just about to wrap up my conversation with Dave Peterson, 1946, the new album, Losing Game. I've enjoyed this greatly. The last time Dave and I talked, I had a banjo in my hands. We were trying to set this up. I was working a little on my banjo. It's right over there. I'm not going to reach out and touch it, although it is in tune still. One of these days, this is a little different kind of a banjo than I have, and I'm not going to get into listing them because I'm embarrassed how many I have. And
never have too many.
That's what they say. But if I commit them to the air, then I can't back down from it. So I appreciate. Yeah, we all do it. We all do it. Great, David.
Well, we need to pick a tune, but we need to get together sometime.
Absolutely.
And when we're at the same place and pick up you.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to do that.
And then we could go get some Cincinnati chili.
Man, that's everywhere. That's everywhere here. You know that, and I would love to do that. So, David, I've always enjoyed talking with you about all the things you got going on, and Losing Game's a great, great song. Necktie, which is David. He told you earlier in the program how to find it. We've led into this introduction from David Peterson about Blue Darlin', which is on the tune, which is on the album, and we're going to play that now, and I'll let David go back to practicing and recording. He's already got another album. He's probably working on another album after the last one was done.
I've got five or six in the queue that I know I want to do, and it won't stop. I know the next record that will happen, it will be definitely in the bluegrass camp, but a little bit different, than the other ones that have come out recently, but it will be strongly in that camp. So,
well, when you're ready with the one we discussed that is ready and in the can, so to speak, and ready to go, the gospel type, let me know about that, and then we can maybe feature that and talk to you again as that breaks down.
I sure will. I want to thank you for having me on. You've always been good to me, Steve. Thank you for playing my music.
Absolutely, man. Take care of yourself, and we'll catch up someday. I'll surprise you and bring a banjo.
All right.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Unreal Bluegrass.